Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you again to all to this episode tonight, I am bubbling over with excitement because tonight we will continue in our lesson, our reading the book of Luke. Now, remember this lesson, we will synopsize the life of Jesus Christ according to Luke the physician. And it will also present his allegory of the Son of God and give to us an account-by-account description of the events concerning Jesus' beginnings to his end of life as we know it. And we will also look at the characteristics of Christianity as presented in this book written by Luke. Now, I remind you that all the lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible, and I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you would like. Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, personally thank you for those that take the time to give me advice during and comments on the show. I'm always going to be grateful. Thank you for those who are doing that. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, lay up not yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. For where your heart is, your treasure will be also. That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Now, the promise is that you will receive your treasures that are laid up in heaven if your heart is ready to receive them. Jesus said, for a good tree beareth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree beareth forth good fruit. For every tree is known of his fruits. That's Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 44. And again, the promise is, if you are going to bear good fruit, you're going to have to be a tree that is of good fruit. Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And that's Luke chapter 6, verse 40. So again, the promise is that if you are a disciple of the master, then you will perfect those things that are needed and that he teaches you to perform. So the question is, again, this hour, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want to tell you all that the Bible, this is a reminder, is written in code, meaning mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Okay, now let's go to the study. We're going to open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verse 22 through 23. Luke chapter 6, verse 22 through 23. And this is the instruction. We are on the 15th instruction out of 84 in this series of study. The instruction is, blessed are ye when men shall hate you for my sake. That's what we want to remember as we're reading the text. Now, this is the text, what Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 says. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate from you their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now, for the most part, we know, or we're going to focus on those who are preachers and ministers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, those individuals, and for sure missionaries. Now, this is what verse 23 says, that we are, this is the blessing for those who respond according to this instruction. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For the in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So it's telling us that we should rejoice. Now, I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, this is where we get that joy from, the fruit of the Holy Ghost. That is where you get the genuine joy that can sustain you through this assault. Now, what we want to do is we want to go to our complement, the Old Testament, and we want to see what it says about the same. We're going to go to Psalms 37, and we're going to be reading verse 12 through 15. Psalms 37, verse 12 through 15. And this is what the complement says. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Now, this is what David is telling Israel, what happens to those who are righteous. And those that I just mentioned beforehand, we can consider the righteous. But this is what David also concludes. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be as upright conversation. But their sword shall enter into their own heart. Now what we want to do is quickly turn the page to verse 17 through 19 and get the conclusion. For the arm of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. So this is what you receive when that Holy Ghost gives you the fruit of joy. Now, of course, David was pointing to that, and I would say that because of Jesus' learning of Scripture in general, he drew from this psalm to formulate that instruction that he gave us in Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Now, this is what the instruction should mean spiritually in our lives. It should mean that through the fruit of the Holy Ghost, long-suffering, we are sustained to maintain our composure unto eternal life. So that is the key, my precious brothers and sisters, that this instruction has given us. We need to look to the fruit of long-suffering to get us through the peril that will confront us when we are bombasted or confronted with the wicked. All right, Let us go now to instruction number 16, and we're going to return to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. That's Luke, chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the text we're going to read. Woe unto you who are rich, full, and honored. That is the instruction that we want to look at or keep in mind as we're reading the text. Now, this is what Luke chapter 6, verse 24 through 26 says. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. And woe unto you which men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So we can see that we received in this instruction several woes, and we know what woe is. Woe is a warning, and it's an admonishment. So those whom Jesus were talking to were, of course, those who were not compliant to the laws of God. Now, what we want to do is see what our complement says about this, and we're going to go to the book of Amos, the prophet Amos. We're going to go to Amos chapter 6, verse 1, and let me mention to you that Amos is considered the prophet that reviled, if you will, the rich. And this is what Amos says in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, woe to them that are eased in Zion, that's those who are rich, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, the high-minded, which are named chiefs of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. So in that verse, Amos is telling those, and we'll continue after the break.
I have a lot of memories from when I was a child. One that's always stuck out to me, though, was when I was about 10 years old, and I was in school, and I struggled. And I didn't struggle with English, math, or science. I struggled holding still. And I would try to listen and focus and process ideas, but I couldn't help myself. And to be honest, I would sit there and then I would just start tapping. And the students in the class would look at me and they'd say, hey, stop tapping. A lot of the time, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then eventually even the teachers got after me and they would yell at me and they'd say, Clint, you have to stop tapping. It got so bad that I got sent to the principal's office for tapping. And he said to me, okay, maybe when you go back to class, just try sitting on your hands. And so I did. I went back to class, and when I felt myself starting to tap, I did this. I sat on my hands. And that worked for about 5 seconds. One time I was tapping in class, and my teacher, Mr. Jensen, he looked at me, and he yelled. And he said, Clint, stay after class. And I thought to myself, this is it. I am done. Now, I've always been the type of person that believes that a single moment in time can change a person's life. And this was one of those moments for me, and I will never forget it. And so I was sitting there with Mr. Jensen and an empty classroom. And he walked past me, and he sat next to his desk, and he said, Clint, come here. I want to talk to you. And as he looked me right in the eye, he said, now, I need you to know something. You're not in trouble. But I do have just one question that I have to ask you. And he asked, he said, have you ever thought about playing the drums? And in that moment, Mr. Jensen, he leaned back and he opened the top drawer of his desk. And he reached in and he pulled out my very first pair of drumsticks. And he held them in his hands and he looked at me and he said, hey, Clint, you're not a problem. I think you're a drummer. Moment on, I've never put those sticks down. I've toured, recorded, and play drums all over the world. My whole college education was paid for with drumsticks in my hand. Just because of a single moment in time when somebody believed in me and he saw something in me that I didn't even see within myself. And from that moment, I learned that there's a difference between being the best in the world and being the best for the world.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here again, we're looking at instruction number 16, which says, woe unto those who are rich and full and honored. Now, we want to make sure that we realize that that is talking about those who are worldly-minded and not godly-minded, okay? Because we know that God will add, as Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. So those who are full and rich and honored in God's realm is not whom we're addressing. We're talking about those in the world's realm. Now, this is what we should look at this spiritually and get from it in our lives. Be careful that you don't take for granted the physical good fortunes that you have and forget to thank God for them by obeying God, his word. That's key. So that is what I'm trying to share with you, that if you have what I just identified in the woes and you have them spiritually and not worldly, then you need to take pause and make sure you give God thanks for that. Let's now move on to instruction number 17. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. Now, this is the instruction. Love your enemies. Before we get started, this is a very hard concept to comprehend. Now, you remember at the beginning of the show what I told you about the Word of God. You have to study it, and it is full of mysteries and secrets and parables, and it is something that you just can't take for granted that it's surface-level information. This is profound spirituality. And this particular instruction we're going to read in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36, says this. But I say unto you, and this is Jesus speaking, hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. We know that if you're not in the Holy Ghost, or if you're not in the indwelling, this is going to be so much more difficult, and it probably is going to be impossible for you to respond to. And we're talking spiritually as well as physically, but it's the spiritual first. Verse 29 says, unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Again, the spiritual aspect of what Jesus is instructing is should be taken first, and then you can respond better physically. Verse 30 says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would men do unto you, you also should do unto them likewise. If you love them which love you, who thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again. We're talking spiritual versus physical. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God has created all mankind. So we have to respond to all mankind. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. And remember what Jesus said, freely you receive, freely you give. And we'll get more into that concept when we come to it in the book of Luke. Verse 36 says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So that's the key to responding to this particular love your enemy instruction. And what we want to do now is go to our Old Testament complement and see how it is described, how it compares and agrees with what Jesus gave in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. We're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, and we're going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 through 19. Excuse me. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 through 19. In fact, put a chart or a bookmark there and let us start with the law in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15 through 18. We want to go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15 through 18. And the reason I said the law is because even though Deuteronomy is part of the law, Deuteronomy was a rehearsal of that which was identified in Leviticus and Numbers and Exodus and Genesis. Okay, so we're going to be reading from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15 through 18. And this is what the text says. And remember, there were 613 laws that Israel was under, and these are part of them. It says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons of poor, nor honor persons of the mighty, but in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. And that is what Leviticus is telling us. And you can see there were three or four. And after the break, we'll continue.
I think that the people that are on, that are discovering how to unleash their greatness, are people who have the mental resiliency and the courage to face failure, that you will fail your way to greatness, that most people allow their fear of failure to outweigh their desire to succeed. When you're willing to fail again and again and again, when you make up your mind to become unstoppable, when you make up your mind to become a no matter what person, then that will then give birth to a part of yourself that you don't know right now.
Do you have the courage to act outwardly on what you see inwardly? Or will you die a dreamer? Will you die on the verge and on the edge and in the land of coulda, woulda, and shoulda? I'm going to drop some on you. It takes courage to be successful. It is far easier not to be successful. Misery will always have company. Success breeds contempt. If you don't want to make waves, be mediocre. Be normal and fit in. And if you're more concerned about people than you are God, then neutralize everything he put in you. Just fit in with everybody else. Dress like them, walk like them, act like them, eat like them, go where they go, think like they think, do what they do. And once you neutralize your uniqueness, you don't need courage. It takes courage to be different. It takes courage to be exceptional. It takes courage to be wise. It takes courage to be rich. It takes courage to be educated. It takes courage to be knowledgeable. Because the moment you do, but you don't talk like, you, oh, you just got forgot where you came from. Look at you talking. It takes courage. And I'm just wondering, in this weak, watered-down, mediocre society that we live in today, in this reality TV world we live in today, I'm wondering if there's anybody left that's got the courage to say, after all I've been through, and all my ancestors have been through, and all my parents have been through, I didn't come through all of that just to fit in with normalcy. I have the courage to go after my dream and stand for the Lord. It takes courage to get you outside of the box. It takes courage to be successful. It takes courage to win. People don't talk about people that don't win. If you win, they're going to talk about you. Do you have the courage to stand there though the storms keep raging and the people get to talking and you stand there and say, I've come too far to turn around? Do you have the courage?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, love your enemies. That's the instruction we're on. And we're reading now from Deuteronomy, or from Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 15 through 18. And we're going to complete the reading at verse 18, which says, Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, for thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So you can see from what Leviticus is identifying is more physical than spiritual, from what was started in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. So that is the difference. Jesus flipped from the physical aspect, putting it second instead of putting it, and he put it first. And in the Deuteronomy, or in the Old Testament, the physical is second. Now, to add more amplification to this, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 through 19. And this is what it says about the same. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Now, this is what 18 says. He doeth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widows, and he loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So we are learning from what Moses is rehearsing to Israel, that the reason that the stranger is significant is because Israel were strangers in the land of Egypt. And that is the reason why God mandated that the neighbor should be protected. Now what we want to do is go to, I want to share with you what this instruction means spiritually, should mean spiritually in your life. That love that you must have to everyone is God's love, meaning spiritual love, agape love. Now, we know that the alphabet, or in the Greek language, which the book of Luke was written in, there were four different types of love that were described. And what Jesus is talking about is God love, or agape love. That is spiritual. Then you have Philos, which is P-H-A-L-L-O, Philos, or fellow, and that is brotherly love or friendship. Then you have Stregos, which is maternal love or paternal love, and then you have Eros, which is sexual love. So what we're talking about here is that spiritual love. And to end with the instruction that I'm giving you, that love, to the sinner, we have a saying, love the sinner and hate the sin. That is significant in this application. Okay, if you have any questions, If you're in the chat room, get them to the host. If not, you know the other mediums. You can text me or email me. All right. Let us go to the next instruction. The next instruction, number 18. We're going to turn back to Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. And we're going to take this instruction from the reading. Judge not. That's what Jesus, again, told the people during this sermon. Judge not. And this is what Luke chapter 6, verse 37 says. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now we're taking this again from being a parable, and we're talking about the spiritual versus the physical. And that's the one that we have consideration when we look at this, because we know that there is a judgment within the church that is legitimate and that is recognized by God. But Jesus is telling us of the importance of the spiritual aspect of this judgment, not the physical aspect. And what we're going to do, we're going to go and see what the complement says about this. We're going to go to Deuteronomy again. We're going to go back to chapter 16 this time in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 16, and we're going to read verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. And we know that Moses is rehearsing Israel from the law that was established in the five books of Moses. And Deuteronomy chapter 10, chapter 16, verse 19 says this: Thou shalt not risk judgment. That means that there is a judgment, but you should not pervert it, okay? Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Now, we know that having respect of persons can get us all into trouble, and we, for sure, if it's our children that need to be judged and not someone else's, we have a tendency to favor that. And, of course, taking gifts, it tells us that gifts blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the way, the words of the righteous. And we know that as we experience in society, money buys all things. Now let us look at what this should be meaning to us spiritually in our lives. That spiritually, we must not condemn the soul of another. But civilly or worldly wise, we must be very careful when we enact judgment, because we may cross the line and become sinful. This is very difficult to attain without prayer and guidance from God. So basic instructions before leaving earth, I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, is the key to understanding fully how to respond to this instruction that Jesus gave during this sermon. Now we're going to go to instruction number 19, and we're going to go back to Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and we're going to take this instruction from the reading. Give, and it will be given unto you. All right, again, we're talking parables, so we have to try and make sure that we set the spiritual understanding before our physical understanding. This is what Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. So a lot of ministries emphasize the physical aspect of this verse when they're talking about contributing to whatever it is that they are rallying the congregation for. But I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking, this could also include prayer, your time, your effort, things that are not physical. Remember, we should emphasize the spiritual first. And now what we're going to do is we're going to go to our compliment, and we're going to see what the Bible says about this in the book of Psalms. We're going to turn your Bible to the book of Psalms. We're going to go to Psalms 112, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 9. Psalms 112, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 9. And we're going to see how this complements, how this connects the dot for what Jesus taught during this sermon. Psalms 112, verse 4 says, "Unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. He's gracious and full of compassion and righteous." Verse 11 says, verse 6 says, "Surely he shall not be moved ever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance." The key again is righteousness gives. And verse 9 says, "He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever." So what we're seeing is that a righteous person will receive what this instruction in Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says. That's the connection. And this is what we should look at as spiritually the instruction should mean in our lives. Remember, you reap what you sow. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. This is the concept of weights and measures. Now, we know that's one reason why, and we'll continue after the break.
How many times have you had somebody say, "Well, I promise you"? Well, promises are Word Today. I'm in it with Maxwell. Hi, my name is John. And I think every one of us have had times in our life where there was a promise that pretty well gave us a look at what the future could be if we improved ourselves. It's a wonderful word. It's a word of anticipation. It's a word of hope. It's a word of growth. So when somebody says, "I promise you," it's normally something that's going to be in a positive way. And pretty much they're saying, "I'm going to put my name on the line, my reputation on the line." Now, we've heard the saying many times that some people, they overpromise and underdeliver, and that isn't where you want to go. Really, what you want to do is underpromise and overdeliver. You see, the gap between expectation and reality, that's called disappointment. So when we promise something, don't leave the gap. Fulfill your promise. I can promise you this. If you do that, people will love your promise. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, as we conclude on give and it will give be given unto you, that particular instruction, we want to ensure or remember that the instruction should mean to you that you reap what you sow. So if you reap bountifully, or if you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. And so that is the instruction. Now let us go to instruction number 20, and we're going to go back to Deuteronomy, or we're going to go back to Luke, chapter 6, verse 39 through 42. We're going to be reading Luke chapter 6, verse 39 through 42. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the reading. Do what I say. And this is the instruction, meaning this is what Jesus is going to not emphasize, but he is illustrating during this parable. Do what I say. And this is what Jesus says in the parable, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. First, I am retracting the verse 46. through 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. Okay? That's what I'm getting ready to share. It says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and did not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But in like manner, but he that heareth and doesn't do what I say is a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. Again, which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So Jesus is telling us to do what he says. If you are to build your house, you build your house upon a rock. He that hears what Jesus says and does this will reap the rewards and the benefits from it. Now what we want to do is see how this is connected with the compliment. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 1 or verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, and this is what it says in respect to do what I say. This is what verse 15 says, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto my voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." That is so critical, my brothers and sisters, doing what God says do. And what Moses was rehearsing to Israel, he gave more details. If you read the rest of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 16 forward, you will see what the curses are. And of course, if you begin at the beginning of 28, it will tell you what the blessings are. So that's the significance of do what I say. And this is what it should mean spiritually in our lives, that we must be converted and healed. Now, before I tell you that, let me go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. I am going to add this in this instruction. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. This is what it says. "And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive ye not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted and healed." Now, again, this is what God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, that we must be converted and healed in order to receive the benefits of doing God's will. You're not going to do his will unless you are converted and healed. And if you go to Psalms 19, it will tell you about the conversion. The conversion, the Psalms 19 tells us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So we know that the conversion comes from the law. That's obeying God's commandments. And, of course, we know we're in the dispensation of grace, so we need to obey the words of Jesus' kingdom and patience. That is part of the commandment of God, plus those laws that Jesus incorporated into grace when he came into this dispensation. The healing is identified in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, when it says, "Through his stripes we are healed." And we know that Jesus died on the cross at Mount Calvary to relieve us and release us from sin. So that is the element that we must have in order to benefit from the instruction that we're talking about, doing what God says You have to be converted and healed in order to receive the benefits therefrom. And again, this is what I'm sharing with you spiritually, what we should be getting from this instruction. You must learn what God says to do and do it if you expect to be saved. Best results, keep all of God's commandments. That's what I'm sharing with you in this instruction. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, what I would like to do right now is to reintroduce to you a concept of mind reset. I liken it to a computer where if you don't upgrade your computer, it will default. And this is the same with our mind reset. If we that have inherited the knowledge of good and evil, if we do not upgrade and keep it constant in the mind of everlasting life, we will revert back to the default. And you know what the mind of good and evil does for us. So what I want to do is share some scripture with you identifying this significance of resetting your mind. Now, I know that you've heard the concept before, and after the break, we'll continue.
Have you ever been chased by something? I've discovered that everybody is running from something. Everybody is running from something or someone, even if that someone is themselves. We're all being chased by something. It might be a fear, it might be an anxiety, it might be an imagination, it might be guilt, but you are being chased. It's amazing how looking back can take all of your faith out of the frame. As long as you're looking forward on the next step that God has called you to take, all you'll ever see is the waters parting with every step that you take. But when you look back, all you see is the wheels of the chariots. Before you, waters are parting. Behind you, the wheels of the chariot are turning. And your faith is dependent on which direction you look.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at mind reset. And if you have your pencils or pens ready, let me give you this scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 and 24. This is what this scripture is going to tell us about mind reset and why it came into importance in our lives. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 and 24. If you want to turn your Bible sources there, that's fine. But this is what it says. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the knowledge of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. So God drove the man out. And he placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every which way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so we know that there was the compromise. It started right there in Genesis that we have received the mind of the knowledge of good and evil as a heritage from the sin in the Garden of Eden. And unless we get to the mind of everlasting life or the tree of life, then we will be faulty for all of this experience we're having this side of eternity. That's the significance. That's where it started. Now let's go. I'm going to give you Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. If you want to go to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, and this is why it is so important critically that you make your reset constantly as often as you can. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, it tells us this. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. That is because we have lacking the knowledge of everlasting life. Those who are outside of this understanding, those who are outside of Christianity, for sure are lacking, because they're using, to determine what they do, the knowledge of good and evil. And that's why it's so much chaos in the world. And to add impetus to what Isaiah said, we're going to look at the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. If you can go there quickly, because this amplifies, it makes it even more explosive, the importance of the knowledge of everlasting life. This is what Hosea said in chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed. So not only are they in captivity, as Isaiah says, but Hosea says they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That is telling us that the knowledge of good and evil has caused us to lose our priesthood, meaning that with Jesus we become priests. So that's why it's so important in Christianity that we upgrade from the knowledge of good and evil to the knowledge of everlasting life. And then we find out how to receive this. John chapter 14, verse 26 and verse 15, and then John chapter 26, verse 16 and 13. This is what Jesus teaches us, how we can come about in receiving this. This is what it says. But when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you these things. So that is how we receive this understanding, through the Holy Ghost. And we know in John chapter 17, we're taught that all power has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth over all flesh by the Father to give to as many as he will this eternal life, or this tree of life. And that is to know God as your only true God, to know Jesus Christ as his Son whom he had sent, and to know and to receive the Holy Ghost. And we must have the full completion of the body. We must have the Holy Ghost, that indwelling, and Jesus, or John chapter 14 and John chapter 26 just told us why. And this is how Paul gives it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, as an addition to what we've just learned about resetting our minds. This is what Paul says: for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct us? But we have the mind of Christ. We have access to the mind of Christ only through the receipt of the Holy Ghost. So that is the drill that I'm sharing with you right now, and hopefully you can get something from that. And remember that as you wake up every morning, you need to have a mind reset. You need to start your day in the mind of everlasting life, which you get from Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost. Okay, we're going to now recap for those who weren't with us earlier in the broadcast and make a review of the things we learned today. It's instruction 14 says, blessed are ye that weep, for ye shall laugh. And we know that we're talking about, nope, I am mistaken. It's instruction 15 we started from. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you for my sake. We understand that through the fruit of long suffering, which you get from the Holy Ghost, you can withstand, and that is the blessing that you get when you are bombarded, especially if you are a pastor or a minister or a missionary, or in that type of work where they do get a lot of refutes from people that they address and talk to. That is the blessing. Then we know verse, instruction 16 says, woe unto you who are rich. And we understand that's a warning and an admonition from God talking about those who are physically or worldly involved and not godly or spiritually involved. If you are spiritually involved, you will receive accordingly, and there's no woe or warning that comes with that. It's for the worldly-minded to respond to that. Instruction 17, love your enemies, which I indicated. I don't think that we can do that without Jesus Christ. Even though I know that there are a lot of other practices out there, Buddhism and Hinduism and a few others, even Islam, that try to reinforce or give us an understanding that that is what we should be practicing. But to date, I only know of those who have the indwelling in Christianity that have the fruit of the Holy Spirit that could get them through or allows them to love their enemies spiritually the way they should. Then we take from instruction number 19, judge not. And we understand that that instruction is spiritually emphasized, that even though there is judgment within Christianity, we're talking about that which is physical outside of Christianity. Instruction number 19, give and it will be given unto you. We know that a lot of ministries use that as a beckoning call for giving and donating money, but we understand that it could be still, and it should be, spiritually minded. Those who give of their time, their energy, their prayers, and taking part in church activities, that should be taken into account when we respond to this instruction of give and it will be given unto you. And then we have instruction 20 that says, those that see, let them see. And we understand that through the converting and healing of the spirit is the way that this is initiated, because what we get from Jesus's teaching further in the Gospel of Luke, when we get there, he will say, blessed are your eyes, for they see and perceive. Blessed are your ears, for they hear and understand. Because your heart is not waxed gross, and your eyes are not heavy, and you're not dull of hearing. You have been converted and healed. And Jesus says, so blessed are those who have been converted and healed, for they do see, and they hear and understand. And then the last instruction was, do what I say. And we know that following the words of Jesus Christ, we are taught through the Old Testament that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God. So what Jesus says, what God says, what the Holy Ghost says in the Spirit speaking to the churches are, I think, critical to our understanding and our progress in even accomplishing the salvation that we seek through Christianity. All right. Now, that concludes today's lesson, and I will turn it back over to the host.
Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E.
As I say goodnight to all of our listeners out there, remember what Jesus said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.